some powerful stuff going on today. Just powerful stuff going on today. For those of you that are first-time attenders with us, we've been in this incredible, amazing series called We're Only Human. And the byline for it is people are weird. I only heard one amen. People are weird. Relationships are difficult, but the Word of God is going to help you figure it out. And this one is probably going to be a challenge for some of you, because I pray the Holy Spirit will open your eyes. But today, what I'm going to teach about from the Word of God are how to handle manipulators and controlling people. Manipulators and controlling people. So I want you to turn to Galatians, if you would, with me. And we're going to talk about a man who was changed from that, just for a moment, in the text. Paul is refuting the Judaizing false teachings. Paul had taught that if you are going to be a child of God, saved by grace, it is you are justified in the sight of God through your faith, simply believing in Jesus. And then there were these Judaizing false teachers that would come along and add to it, saying, no, but you got to fulfill all these Mosaic laws and rules in order to become a true follower. And he said, no, it's by faith. It's by faith you're saved. And it's nothing you can do on your own. It's you simply believing and taking hold of what Jesus said. Aren't you glad God made it easy for us to just say, God, I'm surrendering to you today. It's what he's waiting for. But he used to be a guy that was just the same way and wanted to please people. But when Jesus gets a hold of you, you get more consumed with pleasing him than you do people. So look what he says in Galatians 1:10 as he speaks to the believers and refutes these men, and he speaks to the believers. He says, am I now trying to win the what, everybody? Say that word, approval of man or God. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Two key words that he used to be hung up. He needed the approval of people, and he needed to please the people that were around him. But once he encountered Jesus Christ, he discovered, I no longer have to be addicted to you liking me all the time. I don't have to be addicted to pleasing you all the time. And let me tell you, we always pray for people to be set free from addictions and things in their life that Satan puts on them. But let me tell you something that people need freed from. They don't need freed just from drug addiction. They need freed from approval. Addicted to being approved and pleasing people. And when people notice that, you get manipulated and controlled, and you're not pleasing God. So look at someone beside you and say, we're going to get great courage to please God and not people. Tell them that. We're going to get great courage to please God and not people. You can be seated. So heard the fictional story of St. Peter. He was at the entrance of heaven, and he was monitoring who was coming in, and there were two doors with two large banners over each door, and over the first banner there was this big sign. It says, for all men who were controlled by their wives. And there was this huge long line as far as your eye could see, men going through it. And then there was a second banner and a second door, and it said, for all the men who were not controlled by their wives. And there was one lone guy standing there all by himself, and St. Peter walked up and he said, with all due respect, sir, he said, why are you standing under this sign that says, for all men who are not controlled by their wives? God looked at him kind of dumbfounded, and he says, well, I don't know, man. All my wife said was, shut up and stand in that line, and I'm just doing what I was told. You know, there's manipulation that happens to all of us. And so, how many know, listen, we can't just point fingers. How many know sometimes we can be the manipulators? Not even realize we're being the manipulators and we're manipulating. And this is something that is, you probably don't get here taught much in church, but it is probably the greatest tool that Satan will use to keep you and me from doing what God wants and pleasing God. Now, I'm not talking about healthy social influence. Let me define. There's a big difference between healthy social influence and psychological manipulation. Let me just read from Psychology Today what psychological manipulation is so we can clarify the two, okay? Because some of you may think, well, I'm just being manipulated. No, it's Mother's Day. You better be here. Mama looked at this puppy guy and said, you're not going to go to church with me today? That's not manipulation. It's Mother's Day. Amen. But psychological manipulation, can be defined as the exercise of undue influence through mental distortion or emotional exploitation with the intention to seize power, control, benefits, and or privileges at the victim's expense. Are you listening to that? It's not what is in the best interest for the relationship together. It's what is the best interest for me. I need my agenda done. Because, see, healthy social influence is good, okay? It's different than psychological manipulation. Healthy social influence is basically what we practice in most relationships, where there's a healthy give and take in the relationship so that both are benefited, both learn to grow, both learn to mature. That's healthy social influence of giving and taking, which is a part of every relationship. But when it comes to psychological manipulation, the manipulator deliberately creates an imbalance of power, and exploits the victim to serve his or her agenda for their own personal interest and not that person. So there's a big difference, all right? So those of you that came because your mother asked you to come to church today, that's healthy social influence.
That's right.
And who knows what God has for you with mama's healthy influence, amen? But you say, well, Pastor, why would this be such a big deal? Because you will look through the Bible and you will find all the way through the scripture where manipulation was used for wrong intentions that hindered people's walk with God and doing the will of God. You can go start. I mean, go with the first sin. I mean, the manipulation that happened with the first sin that went on there. Look at Genesis 25, where you see two brothers named Jacob and Esau. And Esau was the eldest, so he got the birthright, got most of the inheritance. And Jacob, he kind of liked hanging out with his mom, and Esau loved hanging out with his dad. And, you know, it's a long story, but, you know, Esau loved to hunt, and Jacob, he loved to cook. You know, he was the Betty Crocker of the Old Testament. Or the Rachel Ray, whatever, if you want to go to the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, Esau's out hunting one day. He gets real hungry. He's famished. He's starving. He comes back, and Jacob's sitting there cooking that pot of stew. And he says, give me something to eat. He said, give me your birthright. Give me birthright, and I'll give you something. Well, he manipulated, and as a result, he used someone's need to manipulate them for an imbalance of power. Are you watching this? Okay, he manipulated using someone's need. Sometimes we know a person has a need, so we'll use their need as a form of us dominating our own personal agenda. And we could give you a whole list of things. Then there's Mark 6, where all of a sudden we see Herod, and Herod's throwing this big party. Remember that one? Big party, wine, women, song. And all of a sudden, his wife's daughter comes out and starts doing a dance. He says, if you'll dance for me, I'll give you whatever you want. Well, she danced for him, and I don't know what kind of dance it was, but it must have been some crazy wild dance, because he said, whatever you want, you can have. And she said, I'll tell you what I want. My mother hates John the Baptist. Go chop off the head of John the Baptist and give it to me here on a platter. Well, the reason why he did it was because all of his friends were there, all these leaders were there, and he was pressured by public embarrassment. And so because of public embarrassment, he was manipulated, just like Pilate was manipulated. Public embarrassment, and people manipulate. So you see it again here in the Bible. And then you can't forget this one. How can you forget this one? In Judges 16, Samson and... Yeah, man, that got in trouble right there. And you know the story. She manipulates Samson. And she tries to find out the secret to his strength. And here she is, a prostitute. She's a Philistine. And they want to know the secret to his strength. She's now married to this guy. And look how she manipulates him. Let's just go to it. Judges 16, verse 15. Let's go there for a moment. And look, watch the manipulation going on. Then she said to him, now remember, they're married. How can you say, I love you? Let me put it in. How can you say, I love you, when you wouldn't even confide in me? Are you watching this? Watch this. This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your strength. Verse 16. with such nagging. Say the word, nagging. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until she was he was tired to death. She manipulated him through constant nagging. You're not good enough. You don't love me. You don't care. It was total manipulation that did get him killed. And if you'll study this, if you go read the story of Samson, this wasn't the first time a woman manipulated him. You'll see that he got involved with another Philistine woman at the very beginning, and he put out a riddle to all these guys, and they couldn't solve it. And so they told her, go make him tell us the riddle. And she cried and cried and cried and nagged him and nagged him and nagged him. They spotted Samson as a guy who was easily manipulated and took advantage of it. So you see this all through the scripture. So here's my question. How many of you here today could be honest and say, you know, Pastor, there's someone in my life, my work, somewhere out there that if they had the ability to, I've watched them and they would manipulate me if I let them get away with it? Sure. I think we all have people like that that are around us. And because if you say, well, I'm smart enough, I'll never get manipulated. Well, you know, come on. Let me do a little experiment here this morning. Let's do something real quick, okay? Everybody, let's hold up your left hand. Everybody hold your left hand up, okay? Everybody? All right, everybody, okay, hold your left hand up. Now, lift your right foot, okay, all right. Now, take your right hand and touch your nose. Okay, good. I was just seeing if I could control you this morning, so it worked, okay. See, you can get controlled and not even realize what's happening to you, okay. I was just having a little fun with you there. But let's talk about how do we deal with people that are manipulative and controlling, and they might not even know they are, and some do know they are, and we might even be doing the manipulation ourselves because they got some great tools. There are great tools that manipulators use. I'm telling you, controlling people, there's great. Here, let me give you the first one. Sometimes they'll use threats. They'll threaten you. Manipulators will threaten you, and you'll see it repetitively. Well, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you. I'm breaking up. I'm going to leave you. They'll use those threats, okay? They're either direct or they're implied. Well, I'm going to hang up on you right now. Listen, you better do what I say or we're taking you out of the will. I'm telling you, there are people that will manipulate that way. Or you can get in a work environment where they want you to do something unethical or something that goes beyond your conscience that is, you know, is not right. And they'll tell you, if you don't do this, we're going to fire you and you'll never get a job in this town. We'll let everybody know. I'm telling you. How many know that threats can really be there and a manipulator use them? Now, let me tell you one that's not so easy to pick up on. It's guilt. It's guilt. If you really loved me, if you really loved me, you'd do what I ask. I'm telling you, those things come very easy. Or how about this one? After all we've done for you, after all I've done for you, I thought we were closer than this. I thought we were much closer than this. And they repetitively use it over and over and over. Guilt and threats. I mean, repetitively, it's over and over. Hey, listen, how many know you can even do it in the church world sometimes? I've seen preachers do this to try to motivate people. If you really love Jesus, I mean, if you really, 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 really loved him, you come here to this church and work 8 days a week for free and sacrifice like Jesus. I mean, people will manipulate. You see, what happens is there's so many times that people don't recognize when they're being manipulated or if they're being a manipulator. Sometimes we don't really, really know it. Sometimes we don't spot it every time. So I want you to, first of all, look at three principles on breaking the controlling spirit and manipulation over your life. That's true manipulation, not social, healthy social interaction. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about manipulation and control. Let me give you three things that I believe will help you. First of all, you need to recognize manipulation. You got to know when it's happened to you because some of us don't know when it's happened to us. And you say, now how would I not know it? Listen, some of us it's very obvious, but some of us don't know it. And here's the reason why. The reason we don't know it is because you were raised or you grew up in a pattern of being manipulated. And so when it's happening to you, you don't even know it because you were raised in a pattern of being a doormat, being controlled, and so it's just part of the routine of your life. And there's this inner frustration every time. You can't put your finger on it, but you get raised that way so you don't even notice it. Now, if Jesus Christ was manipulated, how many know we're going to get manipulated or attempt to? Okay, let me show you first one, Matthew 16:12. Let me show you some of the patterns when you can recognize you're being manipulated. Let's look at a story here between Jesus and the disciple Peter. Matthew 16:21 says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. he would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. Verse 22, but Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. He reprimanded Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be much interested in reprimanding God. You've been a very naughty boy, you know, reprimanding God. And look at this, but look at the MO. Here's the first thing. You allow yourself to be isolated by the manipulator. Notice that the disciple Peter took him aside and then started reprimanding Jesus. And Jesus began to notice that he was trying to manipulate his destiny. Now, I'm not talking about intentional predators. There are intentional predators out there that will get in there and they're predators for against children and things like that. There's something that they try to manipulate, or they try to manipulate the elderly. There are intentional predators. But listen, you got to understand, most of the time, we're dealing with people that aren't predators. They are just folks. They're folks that may even genuinely love us, but this is the only way that they have learned how to motivate and move people, because of the way they were raised. And maybe you were raised that way, so you don't even identify it. But here's what they do. They try to isolate you by yourself many times. This is why I tell people, get in a small group. Because when you get inside of a small group, you want to hang around people that help you process things right, help you determine what's the best decision to make scripturally. And you got people, because how many know? One of us shall put 1,000 to flight. Two of us shall put 10,000 to flight. A cord of three strands cannot be broken. So what does the devil do? He tries to isolate us. And sometimes it's good, loving people, but they always try to pull you to themselves. So number one, is this person constantly pulling me away from other people that may be the ones that help give me strength to stand up for what I need to stand up for? Do they isolate you? Here's the next thing. You can't say no to this manipulator. You can't say no. Here's what happens. You always feel obligated. Every time they ask you to do something, they want to borrow money all the time, you feel obligated all the time. All the time. You'd like to say no. This time you say, I want to say no this time. But every time you feel obligated, and it's almost like this. I hate to say this, but you almost feel like you're controlled by him. You cannot even say no to them, ever. You could be being manipulated and not ever even see it. Here's the third thing. You always feel guilty when you're around the manipulator. You feel guilty every time. You go, but you feel guilty when you're around them. It's like Delilah. What does she do to Samson? How can you say you love me? How can you say that? She uses guilt that he's not a good enough husband. He's not a good enough spouse. I'm telling you something, you're made to feel like you're never good enough. You're never a good enough husband, never a good enough wife, never a good enough employee, never good enough. That's manipulation. And sometimes we don't realize it, because sometimes some of us have been raised in that. Let me give you, for instance, sometimes this can happen sometimes when there's a bitter divorce situation. Some of you may have been raised in that, where all of a sudden there was a bitter divorce between your parents. And now it wasn't a custody battle for your where you're gonna live. It was a battle for your heart. It was a custody battle for your heart. Who was going to have your loyalty? And then all of a sudden you were with one parent and you talked about how you enjoyed your time with them. Well, this other parent said, well, how come you don't have a good time with me? And now all of a sudden it's like you're disloyal to them because you like the ex. And if you've been raised in that kind of situation where you were pushed between the two, where you couldn't even voice who you were loyal to because you got pushed, guess what happens? You start feeling this guilt even in relationships further on in your life. I know it's kind of quiet in here, but how many can bear witness to what I'm talking about here? So when you always feel guilty around this person is a sign that you're dealing with a manipulator. Every time you're around, you feel guilty. Here's number four. You feel ultimately responsible for them. It's like this. If their life is falling apart, well, listen closely. If their life is falling apart, you feel like it's your fault that their life is falling apart. And then when they do something drastic, you start thinking thoughts like this: I could have done more. I should have done more. If I'd only been there. If I'd done more. They wouldn't have done it if I just happened to have been there. Let me tell you something. So many people get jerked around by people who know the craft, and they don't even realize it, because the first time they did something drastic, they watched how you responded, and then when you don't respond again, they ratchet it up a little bit more because they got to get your response. I mean, it can get so high as a level that they start doing things like this. They may be your friend or someone close to you or someone you know, a family member, and they want to do this. Well, I just feel like killing myself. And they start ratcheting it up, and then you react, you respond, and you're there, you care. And then when you don't do it next time, they ratchet up a little bit more where they'll do what they call gesturing. They start gesturing where they start saying, I'm going to do something, and they try to do something that attempts suicide but never go all the way because they got to ratchet the game up because you're not responding now. I'm telling you something, folks. It can be rough on people that are being manipulated because then they start taking it as their own. If I'd have been there, if I'd have called, if I'd have just done this. But listen, what you can do is you can simply say, here's who I can direct you to help you. I'm at the furthest part that I can go. But when they keep ratcheting it up, friends, it's not going to stop. And you need to stop feeling so responsible for them doing this to you. Can I just liberate some of you right now? Everybody makes their own choice at the end of the day. You are not responsible for their choices, period. Some of you need to be delivered and set free because they use this guilt, they use all this stuff. You are being manipulated, and sometimes if you're raised in it, you don't know it's happening. Well, if you really were a Christian, don't buy it, okay? You always feel responsible when their life is falling apart. You got to stop. Here's the fifth thing. You compromise your values in order to please them. You will compromise what you believe to please the manipulator. You'll give up stuff like integrity. You go to on a job site, you go to a work, and they tell you, I want you to do this. I want you to cut corners here. I want you to do this. I want you to fudge the books. I want you to fudge the sales report. It'll bless you in the long end. You're going to get this. And you say, I can't do this. All of a sudden, they start threatening you. And now you're compromising your values to keep your job. You're being manipulated. I can go a step further. You know, all of you that are single, single young men, single young ladies, you'll start getting into dating relationships, and sometimes you'll date a manipulator. Where they're saying, you know what? We've been in this relationship now for about 5 months. Don't you think we should take it to the next level? What do you mean next level? Well, you know, we don't have to go all the way. Yes, you need to go all the way by putting a ring on this finger and marry me. Then we'll talk other levels. You get married to me, we'll talk other levels. Because here's what they're doing. They're trying to manipulate you. And I can just tell you, listen, I've been around the block a few times, okay? Can I tell you what happens a lot of times? Singles, listen to me for a moment. Just a second. Just take my advice, because I was single at one time. Okay? Brenda and I, we got married when we were 30. So, we were pretty mature when we got married. And here's what I discovered. I've watched many times men will use love to get sex. They'll lose love words, love affection, love notes to get sex. And I've watched young ladies who've lost their identity and confidence in who they are, as a result, needing that affection, that affirmation, they will use sex to get that love. And you'll compromise your purity to respond to a manipulator. Come on, what I'm simply trying to show you is you need to recognize indicators when someone is intentionally trying to manipulate you, and they may not even realize they're doing it, but you need to recognize manipulation when it's happening to you. Now, you say, well, what do I do with it, Pastor? I'm starting to recognize it. I see this is a cycle going on and on with this individual. It may be in a family. It may be in a workplace. I keep seeing it happen all the time. Well, how do I do it? Let's talk about responding to the manipulator. How do you respond to a manipulator? And here's what I've discovered. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be cruel. But when it comes to a manipulator, when it's happening and it continues to happen, you need to call it out and call it what it is. You need to be vocal about it, and it needs to be visual, that it's distressing you. They need to see it in your face. I'm not talking about yelling, screaming, but they need to hear you say it and show it that you know exactly what's going on. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? Sometimes we react, we start crying, and we go, no, 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 be calm, and let me give you a line that you need to say. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Let me give you a line. Call it what it is when you see it. Just call it, quit messing around, and just call it what it is. And just simply say this in the nicest voice you can. Here it is. You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Period. This is going to be tough for some of you to say. It will be tough for you to do. But I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit and God in you, you can say this very thing to someone who's manipulating you. You simply say, You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Okay, hold on. I'm going to help you say it, okay? So come on, join me, everybody. Let's join together because we're going to learn how to do this, all right? Some of you, I'm telling you, I can feel chains breaking off some of you right now just when you say this because some of you people have done it to you, and I can feel chains coming off you right now. Come on, just say it with me. You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not. Okay, now put a little. Put a little guts into it, okay? Because I'm telling you, if you've been in this cycle for a long time, this is tough to get out of. But if you got a small group and some good godly people that can help you process and even think through this thing, you can have the courage that when it's time to say it, you can say it. Come on. You are a. But it. And you can even tell them, listen, in the past, I've let this slide, and I should have said something because it's no benefit to you or me, and I've surrendered to this all the time, but I'm telling you, now it has to stop. You're attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Just make it simple and clean, just like that, because this is what Jesus did. Peter was trying to manipulate him, that scripture we read just a moment ago, and look what Jesus did, Matthew 16, 23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me. Now, he wasn't as sweet as we were just a moment ago. Jesus looked and says, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, serving yourself, not from God's will in my life. Can I put it to you in the Rife Kogel paraphrased edition? He was simply saying, you are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Come on, say it again. You are attempting. Let's try this side now. You are a. Come on, everybody, again. You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. And then when you're done saying it, don't look at them and say, don't say Satan. Don't say that, okay? You're going to escalate it to a whole different level. Don't call him Satan, okay? Now, I want to show you why this is so important just for a moment. How many of you really want to please God in this room? I mean, just how many of you really want to please? I want to please the Lord. I do. I'm with you. I want to please the Lord. But when you have identified manipulation and you keep letting this linger, there are threats, there's guilt, there's all kinds of stuff that happens. When you and I allow this to happen, let me submit to you that we are actually involved in idol worship of that person. Because we are seeking more their approval and pleasing them than we are what God has given us clear directive to do. I mean, look what Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. And if all we're doing is every time we're afraid, we're driven by guilt, we're guilty around them, we feel the threats, we're so afraid, all this stuff is happening, and we see it, we identify it. Can I tell you what happened is we are doing God, we are doing their will over God because we're more concerned about pleasing them than we are the approval of God in our life. And I'm telling you, friends, I've been out of the will of God, and it is a dangerous place to be out of the will of God. And there are people that are sitting there trying. You say, well, then, Pastor, who are we supposed to please? I love what the Apostle Paul penned under the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. You remember we did this when we were talking about critical people. Remember this? For we speak as messengers, approved by who? Approved by God. To be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Let's read that last line again. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to give you courage when you see this cycle, and some of you have been beat down by this, and some of them are very close people to you, and you got to have an honest conversation. You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Can I tell you when you do this? Many times, you will not get, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Most of the time, you are going to get a pushback, and a pushback hard the moment you have the courage to do this. Get ready. You will get pushed back and pushed back hard. And let me tell you how it'll come. It will come with threats ratchet up. Well, I'm just going to leave you. Well, you're going to be fired. It's going to ratchet up even higher. Or it may not be threats. It could be. I didn't know you felt that way. Tears in their eyes. I'm telling you, it's coming. Some, there are going to be sparks. There's going to be tears. There's going to be escalation of volume. But get ready for it. It's coming. Because when you discover it's happening and you say, Holy Spirit, give me the courage to say, let's say it again together. You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. When you see a person in that pattern, I'm telling you, get ready for tears, sparks, more threats. It will escalate. Even gestures will escalate. But you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like a boxer. So I was trying to get the best analogy for this. And one of the things about boxing is, in boxing, what you want to do to your opponent, the place you want to get him, the most vulnerable place you can get a boxer in a boxing ring, is you get him in the corner turnbuckle. You get him against the ropes in the corner turnbuckle. Not just again, when you get him in the corner turnbuckle, they got nowhere to move, and you pound, 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 pow, 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 pow. That's what they want to do. And the worst place for a boxer to get is in the corner turnbuckle against both sides of the ropes because you can't hardly get free. So I was studying, I thought, that's what happens to a lot of people that are manipulated. Some of them for years, they've been just pow, 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 you're never good enough, you don't love me, pow, 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 and they stay in that corner turnbuckle and they don't know how to get out. So I started studying boxing. I thought, you know, there's some pretty good analogies. And here's the first thing they tell you on how to get out of the corner turnbuckle is, first of all, you need to expect the punches will keep on coming. They don't go, oh, you're in the corner, I'm sorry. Even when you identify you're in the corner, that goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'll let you out. The punches will keep coming. So if you're expecting the punches not to let up, they probably won't. So they keep punching, punching, punching. But here's what they said. What you have to do in that corner is you've got to be in a leaning forward position and never laying back. When you're laying back, you're vulnerable to them. But when you're leaning forward, it's giving you the ability to coil, that the moment you see a moment open up, the moment it opens up, you can launch the punch and even turn and spin out of that corner. So what does that mean? That means you cannot be passive anymore about this. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a forward footing. And in your mind, look for that one window. And you say, well, when's the window? It's when they stop talking to take a breath. And you say, what's the punch, Pastor? Here's the punch. You ready for it? You are attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Higher threat, I'm sorry. You're attempting to manipulate me, but it will not work. Whew. You're going to box your way right out of a corner, amen? And it's going to take courage. I'm telling you, it's going to take so much courage for some of you, but you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and stop the controlling spirit over your life. It can. So what happens once I get out of that, Pastor? That means the moment you get out of that corner and you get the courage and you begin to identify it and you begin to say, it will not work, then that means you've got to redefine the relationship from that point on. It's changed because it's going to be easy to revert back and let the whole scene start all over again. You did it once and then to go back to the same, because it's a pattern that maybe you've had your whole life. You got to get back. You don't revert back into the corner. So you got to redefine the relationship, and look what Jesus did. When Peter tried to take control of Jesus, he went there immediately to him, and he said, get there behind me, Satan. What did he do? He took control of the situation, says, you will not control me with your human point of view. I have a point of view from God, and I will not revert back to it. It's back to our main text. Here's the deal. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of a manipulator? Let me put manipulator in there instead of men. Am I now trying to win the approval of a manipulator or of God? Or am I trying to please a manipulator? If I were still trying to please the manipulator, I would not be a servant of God. And I'm telling you, they'll do it. Oh man, they'll threaten you to take money. Oh my goodness. Well, if you don't do what I want, I'll tell you what, I'm just gonna take my tithe and go to another church. Well, you're a pastor, it's got to pay bills. We got a 5-month project. But I made a decision a long time ago. I made a decision a long time ago. I'm not worshiping or bowing before people, and I won't worship and bow before their money. The bottom line is, I got to please God and not men. I've got to follow him with my whole heart. And friend, it's not just for me. It's for you too. It's for you as well. And let me just give a word here as we get ready to close. Maybe this morning while I've been teaching, maybe the Holy Spirit's told you, you have been a manipulator. You have been one. You have been one. Can I tell you first if you've been using that? Because maybe it's the way you were taught. Maybe it's the way you only get your spouse to respond, or your employer to respond, or your employees to respond, or whatever the case might be, or your church member to respond, small group person to respond. Let me just say this. This doesn't mean you're a bad person, okay? Because even the disciple Peter was doing this out of a genuine love, but he got his own will in the way what was best for Jesus and best for God's kingdom. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but it does mean this. You are probably doing this because you are afraid and you are living in fear. Because you feel like you are losing control of the situation, and fear always gets you to grab on tighter, to level up the threats, to level up a little higher, to get a little bit more drastic, because you're afraid of losing that person or losing that individual or losing your position on that job. So you do an end around and you start talking to other employees at the job because you're afraid they're going to get your job, or they're afraid that you're playing that game. And it doesn't mean you're bad. It means that you cannot put your faith in your manipulation anymore, because it will not work. You need to put your total faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he is managing and handling the relationship. And it's God who rules at the end of the day. And it's God I trust at the end of the day. And it's God who my life belongs to at the end of the day. And you got to stop fearing, because you're not a person that walks by fear. We're the people that walk by faith. That I trust God. I trust God. And I want to pray for you this morning, because you don't want to be that way. But if you're always having to ratchet it up to keep them around you, you're operating out of fear and not trust in God. Do God's will and trust him. Trust him in that relationship. And for those of you that are being manipulated, my prayer for you today is that the Holy Spirit would so empower you today, you will have the courage to identify it, get around some good godly people that you know are not people that manipulate, but they genuinely have your interest at heart, and say, am I sizing this up right? And then have the courage through the Holy Spirit to say, you ready? You are attempting, but it will not work.